Good morning, Christchurch. This morning's reading is taken from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 to 16. 1 Peter 1, starting at verse 13. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy because I am holy."
Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be with you again. Let's pray as we come to God's word. Father in heaven, we bow in your presence, we worship you as God, and we thank you for your word. Thank you that you are a speaking God. Father, please give us ears to hear, minds to understand, and soft, teachable hearts. For Jesus' sake, amen. You know what? It's rather dark in here. Perhaps I better put the light on. Yeah, that's better, isn't it? That's much better. Doesn't it make a difference having the light on? Well, God has turned the light on for us. Whereas in the Old Testament, his people were looking forward to what he would do in Jesus, and therefore they were somewhat in the dark, God has turned the light on for us. We know all about Jesus. We know who he is and what he's done for us. So wonderfully, we're in the light. We stand in the truth. We know the truth. We've been given the truth. We're in the light. There are two great issues that we struggle with often in the Christian life. One, I think, is sharing our faith. Often we flunk it. We know we should have spoken, and we kept quiet about Jesus. The other great issue is being holy. Every day we sin, don't we? We fail to be the people God is calling us to be. How wonderful then that God is a God of grace. How wonderful that we've been forgiven at the cross. That at the cross, Jesus was loaded up with all my sin, all my failure. Jesus paid there my debt. Jesus dealt with God's wrath at my sin once and for all. How wonderful that Jesus has done that for us, and therefore we can receive grace and mercy, and love, and blessing, and forgiveness. Today I want to say two things to us. Put your hope in the right place. Put your hope in the grace God offers us in Christ. And pursue holiness for the right reason. Pursue holiness not to earn salvation. We could never earn God's favour by being good, but pursue holiness as an obedient child of God, because you love God, because he is your Father, and you want to please him. The context of these verses is that Peter's been establishing who we are in Christ. We're elect exiles in verse 1. We're the chosen people of God in verse 2. We're heirs of God in verse 4. And we are the end of God's plan in verse 12. God has nothing newer to say to us than he said to us in Christ. What we know in verses 10 to 12 is something the prophets didn't know. We know the experience of God's grace, verse 10. Concerning this salvation the prophet who spoke of the grace that was to come to you. Salvation was proclaimed by the prophets and looked into by angels. So fascinating was it that angels longed to look into these things. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently with the greatest care. The prophets really wanted to know what God would do through his Messiah. And we know. We know the gospel of grace. We know what Jesus has done for us. So grace is our context. We are forgiven. We are blessed. We are loved by God. We are happy in Jesus. Grace is the context. It's the air in which we breathe. So this talk is not just saying, try harder. This talk is saying, be what you are in Christ. In Christ, you are forgiven. You are blessed. You are loved. You are brand new. So live out the life you have in Christ. Live out your identity in Christ. Here in this part of the letter, Peter moves from theology to application. He's been setting out the theological foundations of the letter. Because of this salvation, because of who we are and what we know, this is the first place in the letter where Peter gives a command. Here we have two commands. Therefore, put your hope in the right place, verse 13, and pursue holiness for the right reasons. Firstly, put your hope in the right place. Bernard used the illustration once of rats in a lab. And these rats in the lab were left to swim in a vat, just round and round and round in a vat. And every single one of those rats gave up and drowned. All except for one. One rat lived. Which rat was that? Well, it was the rat that periodically was just lifted out of the vat and put back down again and left to swim. Swim round again a few more times, then someone would lift it out and then put it back in again. And that one rat lived. All the rest just gave up and died. What did that rat have that made it live? It had hope. It had hope that it would be lifted out of the water. And so it kept on swimming. And it matters, much more importantly, where we set our hope. Verse 13, with minds ready. Literally, gird up the loins of your mind. I'm sure you know that in Jesus' day, in New Testament times, men wore long flowing robes. And if you wanted to run or fight or do anything energetic, you had to tuck your robe into your belt. You had to gird up your loins so that you could run or fight or do athletics, or do anything energetic. And Peter says here, gird up the loins of your mind. In other words, be alert. Prepare your minds for action. We know about grace, so we can think about it. We know about grace, so we can hope in it. We can use what we know about God and about the gospel and about Jesus. We can use what we know to be prepared to act in the Christian life. We can use what we know about how to live with minds that are alert and fully sober. An alert, fully sober mind can think clearly. with minds that are alert and fully sober, with clear thinking. This is the opposite of being drunk. A drunken mind is a confused mind. A drunken mind can't think clearly. And drunkenness makes us thoroughly ineffective, doesn't it? Particularly as Christians. If we're drunk, we just follow our appetites and our instincts rather than what we know is true. And Peter says, with minds that are alert and fully sober, with clear thinking minds, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. So you set your hope, you set your mind, you commit yourself to the grace to be revealed when Jesus Christ is revealed. I'm setting my hope there. I'm living for that day. I'm living for when Jesus comes again. I'm living for when Jesus says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I'm living for the day when Jesus says, "Welcome into my presence." I'm living for that day. Set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. We already live in grace. We're already forgiven. We're already loved. There's no way God could love us any more than he already loves us. We're already completely loved and blessed and forgiven. We already live in grace. But there is more grace to look forward to. There's that wonderful day when Jesus Christ will be revealed and we'll be welcomed into his presence. Set your hope on that. Our hope needs to be set on this. Because where we set our hope makes all the difference in the world. People set their hope on all kinds of different things. Some people, I suppose, set their hope on winning the lottery. Others, I think perhaps more realistically, set their hope on finding the right marriage partner or having children. If I only find that marriage, if I only have those children, then I'll be happy. Others set their hope on being successful in work. If I can only climb the career ladder, then I'll be happy. All people set their hope on being successful in sport. If I can only be that really fit person that I've always wanted to be. Where have you set your hope? Set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. So we are already recipients of grace. We are already completely loved by God. But there is more grace to come when Jesus Christ is revealed. And it's going to be absolutely fantastic. It's going to be wonderful to see Jesus and to be like him. We will see him and we will never sin again. We will never suffer again. We will never cry again. We will just be with Jesus, enjoying him for all eternity. So set your hope on these things. Set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. And if you're setting your hope like this, well then verse 14, you will not conform to evil desires. If you're living for the final day, if you're living to hear Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." If you're living for that, you will not conform to evil desires. Rather, as obedient children, verse 14, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Once we were ignorant. Once we knew no better. Once we were just groping around in the dark, trying to make life work. And we did all kinds of stupid, sinful things. Well, as obedient children, do not conform to those evil desires anymore. You no longer live in ignorance. We no longer live in ignorance if we know Christ. We know the truth now. God has turned the light on. We know about grace. We know about the cross. We know who Jesus is. We know what he's done for us. We live in the truth. We live with the light on. So we should follow what we know. We should follow what we know to be true. And not just following our evil appetites. We're not just doing what feels nice. We're doing the right thing. We're doing what we know to be true. Don't ignorantly choose the road to hell when God has put you on the road from grace to grace. How foolish we are, how foolish I am. Every time I step off that narrow road that leads to life, and I try and go off in this direction, or I try and go off in that direction, and God has to say to me, Chris, stop it. And I come under conviction of sin. And I realise how foolish I've been. And I come back and I follow Jesus again. Peter is saying to us, don't be ignorant. Follow what you know to be true. Be obedient, children. Obedience is absolutely central here. Obedience is what holiness looks like in everyday life. Often people think that being holy is about being rather strange, being rather weird, not fitting in with the real world at all. God is saying to us, be obedient children. It's like your own relationship with your own children. You love them, you want the best for them, and they love you. And deep down, they want to follow you. Well, in the same way, as obedient children, live for God. Love your Heavenly Father. I wonder, where is God challenging us about obedience? Is it in our home life? Is it in our family life? Do we let our guard down too much with our family so that we say things we just wish we'd never said? Or we do things that we wish we'd never done? Is it in our home life, our family life? Is it in our thought life? That's a real battle, isn't it? To think pure, clean thoughts. Is it in our speaking? Do we say things that we really shouldn't say? Is it what we do with our eyes? That's a really big battle, isn't it? Perhaps it's how we spend our money. Perhaps we're prioritizing ourselves and not giving our money back to God. Where is God challenging us about obedience? Put your hope in the right place. Hope in God. Hope in Christ. Hope in the revelation of Christ when he returns on the final day. Put your hope there. And then secondly, pursue holiness for the right reason. But just as he who called you is holy. Verse 15. That's an amazing verse. God called us. God called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. What a privileged people we are that God has called us. Why would God call us? Why would God call me? There's nothing special about us. There's nothing special about me. We're just ordinary people. And yet, God has called us. He said, as Jesus said to those first disciples, come, follow me. And by God's grace, because of the work of the Holy Spirit, we've said, yes, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to be one of your own people. What has God called us out of? He's called us out of a life of sin. He's called us out of a life of rebellion against him. He's called us out of the darkness. He's turned the light on, as we saw at the beginning. God has called us out of this awful, hell-bound existence. And he's called us into his marvelous light. He's called us into his love. He's called us into relationship with himself as Father. He's called us into relationship with Jesus as our brother, as our friend, as our king, as our husband. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Takes us back to verse 2. You who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. God has done a wonderful thing for us, hasn't he? He's chosen us for some reason. He's chosen us to serve him in the world. To be sanctified by the Spirit. Sanctified means made clean, made holy, made like Jesus. The Spirit has worked in us so that now we can be obedient to Jesus Christ. We don't just follow our sinful nature. We can be obedient to Jesus, sprinkled with his blood. Marked out as belonging to him. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing that God has done for us. And so Peter says, verse 15, but just as he who called you is holy, so you be holy. God is holy. He's a completely holy God. There is no sin in God. There is no darkness in God. He's completely light. He's completely pure. He's completely clean. And Peter says, as he who called you is holy, so be holy. Be holy as God is holy. Peter is quoting from Leviticus 11, 44 and 45 here. God says, I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am holy. Do not make yourselves unclean. I am the Lord who brought you up out of Egypt to be your God. Therefore, be holy, because I am holy. This obviously applied to Israel. The significance for this for Israel is that they're called to be God's holy people. They're called to be different from the world. They're called to reflect God's holiness to the world. Israel is to be a beacon of God's holiness. And now Peter is saying, Christians, that's who you are. You're the new Israel. You're God's chosen people. You have the same calling to reflect God's dazzling holiness to the world. That's a challenge, isn't it? When people look at us, they should see the holiness of God reflected back to them. And I fear that what people see when they look at me is the sinfulness of Chris Jenkins. And I have to repent so often and get right with God. And I have to seek God day by day in prayer, in the Word, so that I do reflect the holiness of God to our generation. Will you do that? Will you seek God day by day in His Word, in prayer, in coming to church, in coming to home group, in coming to prayer meeting? Will you seek God like that, so that you are a beacon of God's holiness to the world? This is actually a very serious matter. God's holiness is terrifying. We think of God as that kindly old granddad. But in the Bible, when people fail to obey Him perfectly, they're destroyed. They're destroyed either in this life or in hell, in the life to come. Think of Uzzah, who dared to touch the Ark of the Covenant while it was being transported in 2 Samuel 6. Don't know if you remember that story, but he reached out and steadied it with his hand, and God struck him dead. God had not given permission for Uzzah to touch the Ark of the Covenant. And so he died. He infringed the absolute terrifying holiness of God. When people fail to live up to the holiness of God, they are destroyed. There is a place called hell. And just assuming that God will always forgive you is a very grave error. We must not make that assumption. We must seek to be holy as God is holy. We're not earning salvation. We're not trying to accrue enough points to get to heaven. We're not earning our salvation by being holy, by trying to be good. Rather, we are already saved. We are already in Christ. We are already in the place of God's grace. We are already forgiven. We are already completely loved by God the Father. We are already sanctified by the Spirit. We are already sprinkled with the blood of Jesus. We belong to Him. We're in a safe place. We're in God's grace, if we're Christians, that is. And Peter is calling us, God is calling us, through Peter's letter, to move towards grace. From grace to more grace. God is calling us to move from the secure place we're in now to that place where we will receive more grace at the revelation of Jesus Christ, that wonderful day when Jesus will come back. User presumed he could do what he liked around God. We're not to do this. We recognize the Holy God. We recognize we must be holy for Him. But we're doing it for the right reason. We're doing it because we are already in the place of grace. And we're moving marvelously towards more grace when Jesus Christ is revealed. So we rely on God's grace. God's grace is going to get us through this. God's grace is going to see us through to the end. God's grace is going to present us before Christ, perfect before Him. We know God is gracious to us. We know about the cross. We're in the light. We're in the place of knowledge. We know how Jesus has paid for all our sin on the cross, once and for all. We know that we're forgiven and loved and blessed. We know that Jesus has purchased God's grace for us. We are wonderfully secure in Christ. Therefore, in conclusion, where have we set our hope? Where is God calling us to be holy? Have I put your hope in the right place? Have you put your hope in the grace of God? And are you pursuing holiness for the right reason? Are you pursuing holiness because you are a dearly loved, obedient child of God, utterly secure in God's grace, utterly secure for all eternity? When we started off this talk, we were in the gloom. We needed to turn the light on. It's like that in the Christian life. Peter here, God here, by His Spirit, through His Word, puts the light on for us. We can see the truth. We can function in the truth, in the light. Let's not go back into the darkness. Put your hope in the right place. Set your hope on the grace to be revealed to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at His coming. Grace gives us wonderful hope. We know we're going to make it. We know we're going to get through in the end. It's a battle now. It's a battle against the world, the flesh, our sinful natures. It's a battle against the devil. It's the battle against demons. But we are in the place of grace. We are secure. We can sing Amazing Grace that saved a wretch like me. We can sing about when we've been there 10,000 years, we'll have no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began. We are secure in the place of grace. So set your hope on the grace God is going to reveal when Jesus Christ is revealed. Set your hope there. And pursue holiness for the right reason. Because you are an obedient child of God. because that's you, no longer conform to the evil desires you once had. Don't conform to them anymore. Be a true non-conformist. Be different. Be different to the world. Be like Jesus. Put aside those evil desires. Turn away from them. See them for what they are. See them as rebellion against the holiness of God. Put those evil desires to one side and follow Christ. Pursue holiness. Run after it. Go after it. Live for holiness. Being holy as God is holy. God is terrifyingly holy. God is dazzlingly holy. And he calls us to reflect that holiness in the world. Christian person, does this describe you? Setting your hope on God's grace, pursuing holiness. Is that how you're living day by day? Well, if not, come back to God this morning. Repent of your sin. Trust in Christ afresh. Thank him for what he's done for you on the cross. And commit yourself to living for him. Seek the work of his Spirit, that sanctifying work of the Spirit. Seek that in your life and live for God. There's no better way to live. And if you're not a Christian yet, then may I say you're in a very precarious place. God is dazzlingly holy. God is destructively holy. God will not have you into his perfect heaven unless you're forgiven by Jesus and cleaned up by his Holy Spirit. If you know that you are not a Christian yet, then come to Christ today. Get right with him. Make him your king. Make him your saviour. Make him your rescuer. Commit your life to living for Christ. Let's pray together. A moment of silence for each one of us to speak with God, maybe to seek his forgiveness, maybe to become a Christian, to say to God, I want to be one of your people, I want to belong to Jesus. You speak to God now. Father, hear our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.